Okay, so what I want to do today is two things, or maybe three. So one of them is the machlokas about, you know, maybe let's start off with the machlokas about the ani hashem alakecha. How do you know malchus? Okay, how do you know malchus? I'm going out of order, but I want to start with something first. How do you know malchus? Because the Shabboson zechon tshuva mikra kodesh, Shabboson basically tells you the esrei melacha. Zichron is zichronos, tshuva is shofros. And Mikra Kodesh tells you that there's, that you say the Kedusha Sayom in Shon Asrei. Okay? So you have... So that tells you basically that you're not allowed to do Malacha in that Shofros Zechronos, and then you mention the Kedusha Sayom. Mekadi Shovaz Manu. Mekadi Shovaz Mezikar. But it doesn't say anywhere in Malchus. So the question is, how do you know Malchus? How do you know that you have to mention that God's sovereignty? So, there's two limudim. One way is, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Before, it talked about Rosh Hashanah, it's Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So it says that teaches you, but from the smichus, right, the juxtaposition teaches you. Then, that's one, yeah, that's the first, that's Tanakhama, I guess. And then it says, oh no, that's Rabbi. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yudah says, Eino Tzarech. No, you don't have to learn it out from there. You don't need that. That's a L'chidesh. You're making up a whole funny limud. You don't have to tell me that. Rather, you know it basically because you have Zechronos. Since you have Zechronos, you also have Malchios. How do you know? Since you have Zechronos, you also have to have Malchios. So it's a pasuk. It's in Bamidbar Yud. It says, Avyom Simchasim Ordechem, Vachskatim Chatzosos Alasechem Azilchem Shalmech Vyolechem Lezikaron Lefnei Elokechem Ani Hashem Elokechem. So it says, we know before God. We say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Of course, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Who else? So it says, no, the verse is teaching you, a binyanav is teaching you, whenever you have zikaron, there has to be malchus. Ani Hashem Elokeichem is malchus. Okay? So it teaches you, whenever you have zikronos, you always have to have malchus. So that's a lima from this case by Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you blow the chatzotzros, and the chatzotzros will bring for you zikaron, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Connected to Malchus. So you know, whenever, it's a limud, whenever you have a Zechronos, you always have Malchus. So therefore, you don't have to have a special limud by Rosh Hashanah because it puts it right next to it. It's a universal rule. Whenever you have a Zechronos, you always have Malchus. Okay? Fine. So that's Malchus, I guess. I mean, apparently, the first rabbi doesn't like this universal rule, or doesn't like applying the universal rule to here for some reason. But he says, no, the Torah specifically went out of its way by Rosh Hashanah to teach you this halacha machlokas. So the question is, what is this machlokas? What's the machlokas? Right? What's the machlokas? What's the machlokas? Whether or not you is this because of the chronos, or is it just because of the pasuk went out of its way, you know? And I guess also, more directly, I guess, what's the logic of this thing? Whenever you have the chronos, you always have machlokas. I mean, two different things. The promise is that you'll be remembered before God. God knows all, and you'll have a favorable existence before God. And then Malchus is talking about God's sovereignty. So what's the logic of this principle, of the second Mandama? What's the logic of that principle? Okay, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Other limit is a funny limit. It's like, because it writes it next to it, you know what I mean? I feel like... So what's the sense of the limud that whenever you have zechronos, you also have machlokas? That's a question. And what's the machlokas? So, I was thinking like this. The form similar to what you're saying here. But all the idea is a little different. That, zechronos means that God takes knowledge of man. That knows of man, and man could exist before God, right? Zocher, knows all the particulars of man, and he's involved in man, his chavra onash, and all that. Now, there's a danger there. Danger is the idea. Like for instance, David HaMelech said, and this is the conclusion that I guess Einstein reached, or was that When you look up to the heavens and the star, you know, he says, I forgot to have the, I'm missing the middle part of the passage. He says, Ma enosh kisis karana. So they said, what is man that that God should remember him, should pay him heed, and a man that God should act, you know, be poke at him? Is that it seems, to man's mind, the gap between man and God is just too great. And it just doesn't seem man is but nothing. I mean, he's just stardust, you know, a tiny nothing in the universe. And naturally, a person who looks at the universe and says, would conclude that basically God has no... Maybe he could know, but he doesn't essentially, man has nothing to do with God. I mean, again, man can't relate to God. God doesn't do anything for man, doesn't judge him. I mean, it could be, man, just another small thing. I mean, a huge, huge universe, you know? And the natural conclusion that a person would reach from studying the universe is that basically God is totally distant and removed from any other, anything created. Certainly a small, you know, small man, that would be what a person naturally would reach, you know? That's what Einstein said. It's like a personal God to you. It sounds like a childish idea. I mean, naturally, you see the grandeur of the universe. You see what is one man's actions and how that makes a difference. And that's going to register God's, you know, God's going to start, you know, interacting with that being. And that's something which logic alone would lead one to the opposite conclusion. But a person's emotions don't have any problem with that idea. I mean, on the contrary, a person's emotions, that's the most natural idea you could possibly think of. how can God not pay attention to me, you know? It's, you know. But Torah tells us that, in fact, God does. Okay? In fact, God does. But it doesn't mean that the guy who's, that your emotions are right and your mind is wrong. You know, it doesn't mean, oh, see, I really am great. That's not the right conclusion. David is still true. Is that it's the idea that the great distance between man and God is still huge. But somehow it's Chesed Hashem, or it's God's will, whatever. Somehow it's God's will that he relates to man. Okay? And that's why he said, you can't really understand it, but we just know it. We know it through info, we know that it's true. And that's right. So the thing is, but there's a danger of a person misinterpreting that fact. And a lie is saying, it confirms my emotion, I'm really it. Me and God are like, you know, arm in arm. We're really very close. So this thing is Zichronos, so here's my point, that Zichronos has a potential of implying a closeness between man and God, which is not really true. Okay? Because that's what we're talking about, that we should be remembered by God, and God's, you know, watching over us, and it's, you know what I mean? Like a very religious kind of a thing, and a person could almost bring God down by that. So the saying is, the Torah's teaching is that, Nizkartim ofnei Hashem alkeichem, but ani Hashem alkeichem. You gotta focus on the ani Hashem alkeichem, the ani Adam lachem. The Malchus Hashem must come first. Malchus Hashem is where you focus on the idea of the true idea of God and his total sovereignty, his total qualitatively above everything else, and there's nothing else in his framework of existence, and you have to have that idea clear and solid. And then once you have that idea clear, God's greatness, so to speak. Then he can talk about, but it is atazoch hamaseil. Still, God does pay man heed. Okay, and now you can take it in context. It has to be taken in context, and it has to be can't in any way take away from the idea of Malchus Hashem. And if you didn't have Malchus Hashem, Zichronos could corrupt the person, cause never wrong idea about God, and then the whole Zichronos forget about it. He's never even discovered he has the wrong idea about God. So the Zichronos could only, it turns out this is also true, that you couldn't have Zichronos without Malchus, but the Malchus brings about the greatest Zichara of Hashem. You know what I mean? Because when a person has the highest ideas about God and he focuses on those highest ideas, that is what gives his existence worth and meaning. And therefore, that brings him the Zikar of Hashem. You know what I mean? But that's not my main. My point is that the pasuk is that it has to be. You can't talk about Zikar without mentioning refocusing your attention on the Ani Hashem Alkecha. You know, like Ani Hashem Alkecha is like the Rambam, the pasuk of Midas Hashem is learned from Anochi Hashem Alkecha. So who's Anochi? Has an idea of Anochi. Who's Hashem Alkech? Anochi. So it means you have to, that's what Ram says, the mitzvah of Yiddish Hashem, is that you have to study the Anochi. So Ani Hashem Alkech, who's Hashem Alkech? You have to think about the ideas about God. So that when you talk about Zikaron, you have to, you know, the reality check and focus on the idea of Achis, you know? That's what he's saying, is that you couldn't have, so that's why you have to have Zikaron, and that's why Malchus is such a theme on Hashem. Because when Rav Hashem told me Yom Zikaron and Shofar, that God reveals himself to man, you got it. When you're talking about God in this framework, what's prominent has to be Malchus Hashem. You gotta keep Malchus Hashem in prominence, full prominence. Yeah, I mean it's true. I was saying Shofar also has a similar problem. I mean I think it's true. First of all, you know what he says in the Tefillah. He says Ki Ata Shemaya Kultura. No. Let me get the Umazin Shrua Ve'in Domelach. Maybe I misheard. It says Ki Ata Shemaya, is right before the very end, right before the Chasima. So Vein Domalach, and as you're saying, that God listens to the true, but Vein Domalach, I think, is the statement of Machos. It doesn't say Machos directly, but that's what it means. There's nothing like it. I mean, you talk about Shemei Kol Shofar Shamayim Rachamim, you have to stay in there. Vein Domalach means no one else listens to the true. I think it means that God's existence is totally removed from every other existence, you know? So I think it's true that in Shofar's also happened, but I think Zichronos is first. I mean, I would say, in a certain sense, Shofar's comes after Zichronos. And like Zichronos is that man exists before God, and there's God knows of man. And then, not only does he do that, but God reveals himself to man. You know, I mean, it's like a furtherance. It's a new dimension to it, but it's a furtherance of the idea. It's built upon Zichronos, you know what I mean? So, it's true, when you have Shofar, that's just also maybe it's the Keshemet Kol Tros Amol Yisrael B'Rachamim. He said it's Racham Hashem that even does that, you know? But I think that it's true, it's also true that it's tied in, but I think Zichronos is the more basic one, you know? Because Zichronos is, it's more basic in the relationship, so to speak, you know? But I think it would also be true. Whenever you have, you know. But Shofros, you only have Rosh Hashanah. Zikaronos is a theme you have all over the place. The thing is, whenever you have a Zikaron, you have to have, you know. But it could be an Echonami. If you have a Shofar, you know, Shofros also you'd have it, you know. Or you have Shofar by Yovel, or someone else you have about this, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's true. It could be a saying. I mean, the Shofros is the reality of the Shofros. It brings to mind the Emas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is God's Machos. Right. But in Zichronos, somehow it could be missed.
Right.
Right. I mean, the power of the Shofar, the Gilei Shechina, it's clear that it got Machos Hashem. No one feels very close to, you know, the contrary. By Sinai, you see, they said, you know, Moshe, you speak to us. Don't let God speak to us. It's too much, you know. So the Machos Hashem is manifest in Shofar. It could be the dangers of Zichronos, because it's like a subtle kind of relationship, as if, you know, God's like remembering us, paying attention to us, you know,
right.
Caters to a certain, you know, and you could lose the sense of God's machos.
Right.
So that's good, right? So this is the Shita. So he's saying, so you don't need a separate pasuk. The Yemal is implied. Zichronos has it. Okay. So now what's the Rabbi hold? So the Rabbi hold to say he just has a separate limit here. His limit is that it says Malchus Ani Hashem, right? The parsha right beforehand. So it sounds like he's saying the Torah went out of its way to incorporate Malchus in the day. So Rishon says, what do you mean? You don't need it. It's automatically once you have Zichronos, you have Malchus. So what does Rabbi deny this idea, or does he not have the Binyan Av? I mean, what's the Machlokas here? You know. In its form, it sounds like he doesn't like the idea of just saying it's a universal thing. Apparently, the universal thing would not have done it. And that's how the Torah had went out of its way to make a particular thing here of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why the Rosh Hashanah is saying, Eino Tzarech, you don't need it. Torah didn't have to come along with it and make a particular thing because it's already covered by the universal. So it seems to have machluk is whether the universal thing will be a machayev on Rosh Hashanah to mention Malchus. But again, the question is, well, what's that machlokas? I mean, he doesn't hold by this idea? Or does he? And could he hold by it somehow? That's a question. So I'm thinking like this, is that, I think it's a halakhic question, is that this idea, you can't deny this idea that he goes for. This is, the question is though, does this mean that you're necessarily chayiv to have a separate bracha of Malchios? Like, it's true. Like, Dio Zichronos has to be founded on Malchios. But you could just say, so either think about Malchios or put a word Melech in there, throw it in. I mean, Rosh Hashanah, we're doing more than just mentioning that God is a Melech or building, you know, mentioning it as like an element of the Chronos. It's actually its own bracha in its own right. So the question is this idea halachically a machayev in a separate entity of Malchios? Or you say no, is it just that the Zichronos must include Malchios? So the question is, the answer is, do you say that, so on the surface it seems more compelling to say that it could just include it. Why should it have to be, why should it have to be? It's a good point. Why should it have to be something, you know? But it seems like what Rabbi Yosef Hanan is holding is that once you have Malchios, it can't be an element. Malchios is so significant that it must become its own bracha. I mean, you can't just throw in Malchios as like a side point, you know? If you're mentioning Zichronos, it can't be less significant than the Zichronos. If you're mentioning Zichronos as a separate bracha, Malchios has to be his own bracha also. It's because Malchios Hashem, it can't be down like just relegated to being like a component. Like, so that, but that's the Malchus. Could it be? You know, do you say that the only reason, really, you don't need Malchus per se. You just need Zichronos. But Zichronos brings along Malchus. So intrinsically, really, Malchus should just exist as a component of the Zichronos. Or do you say, no, that Malchus can't be a component? Even though it's true, Mikra Dan, it's all, you really only need it because it's like, to qualify the Zichronos. But once you have the Malchus, Mr. Chanin is holding. You can't have. You can't just leave Malchus as like just a side point, and it's kaveh its own bracha. I mean, that's not like it. Could it exist when it's brought in for a purpose which is secondary, but the theme of Malchus is primary? Could it exist halachically? Is that possible to have Malchus as a side point? Let me finish. Let me clarify. Okay, so. So the first guy holds that really, in terms of this universal idea, it would have sufficed to be a side point, to be an element in Zichronos. But it's not. Everyone knows if you look in your Siddur, Malchus is his own thing. Where does that come from? So he holds, it can't just be in service of the Zichronos, because that wouldn't demand it being its own bracha. So rather, it must be that the Torah went out of its way to raise this side point in Zichronos to its own theme on Rosh Hashanah. Whereas in theory, really, it could be a side point. But the Torah, because of the Yom of Rosh Hashanah, and because maybe we mentioned before that your greatest Zichar or Zichron comes through Malchios, so therefore the Torah did on Rosh Hashanah is it raised the Malchios to a theme of Ne'atzma. I mean, it made it a theme of Ne'atzma. So even though really, it's coming because of the Zichronos. It's not intrinsically part of the Zichronos. It's coming because of the Zichronos. But the way the Torah took it and raised it to being a significant element in its own right. But that through the Shmichus of Parshas. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's only because of the way the Torah set up Rosh Hashanah. You know, what the Zichronos says, no, it's not only because of the way the Torah set up Rosh Hashanah. Intrinsically, it couldn't be anything else. Because when you have Zichronos, you have to have Malchus, and it has to be a major element. It can't become a small, you know. The question is, could Malchus have been just like a side point in Zichronos? If it could have been, then you have to have a special puzzle of Rosh Hashanah telling you the Torah didn't want it to be. The Torah wanted to make it into a big point. But if you say it could have been, it could not be a side point, then you don't need anything special about Rosh Hashanah. Once you have Zichronos, it's automatically an intrinsic thing. Okay, good. So now let's do the other problem I want to take up, okay? The other problem is the other machlokes. Again, the parasha, you have four words. Totally different problem. But basically, when the Torah describes the Yom of Rosh Hashanah, you have four phrases or words. One of them is two words. So four sayings. It says, Shabboson, means, I guess, rest. Day of rest. Mikra Koda, I'm sorry, Shabboson. Zichron, remembrance. Trua. Mikra Kodesh. It's called Kodesh. Okay, the four things. Zichron Trua definitely means Zichronos and Shofros. Definitely. The question is, what about Shabboson and what about Mikra Kodesh? Okay, what are those two? So, the first Mandamar, says Rabbi Eliezer, says, Shabboson means Kedushas Hayom. What does that mean? Shabbat Shalom, that you should mention the Kedushas Hayom, the special sanctity of the day, in the Tefillos. You say, I guess, Mekadosh Shel V'Yom HaZikaron. Okay? The general thing, let's say, V'Nuchaseinu, okay, you know, the normal Kedushas Hayom. The mentioning the Kedushas Hayom in the Tefillah. And then Shabbat, and then Mikra Kodesh later, is a reference as Kadshayu Basias Moach. What do you mean, call it Kodesh? You call it Kodesh through Not doing Moach. Okay, so Shabbat Shalom means that you mention in the Shemana Esrei the Kedushas Hayom, and then Mikra Kodesh means that you should separate the day through not doing Malacha. Okay? Good? Yeah. So it says, Amar Rabbi Akiva. The Akiva doesn't like it. He says, why are you mixing up the order? He says, he basically mixes what his order is, then I'll tell you his question. He flips the those two around, the first and last. He says, first it tells you, because he says the basic component of every Yontif is this, a malacha, you're not allowed to do malacha. So he says, Shabbason means rest from malacha. Okay? Then Mikra Kodesh later means that you mention the Kedushas Hayom in the Shemoneh Esrei. Right? The basic thing is that you rest from malacha. Again, the Rebbe Elazar had it backwards. He said, first it means that you mention the Shemoneh Esrei, and then at the end he throws in the fact that you rest. Okay? So Rekiva's argument is, Mimneima lo nemar Shabbason shvos. Why don't you say Shabbason means rest? Shabbo patzik because of tchila, because that's what the patzik starts with. So Rashi says, v'hu bala hatzu al malacha. The Torah, the patzik is coming to warn you that you shouldn't do malacha. Shehi yikar, because that's the main thing. V'kaf liyafel ledrosh, and that's the appropriate way to darshan the patzik. Ha'ol v'hu rishon b'mikra. Since that's the first thing in the pasuk, v'yashvisa rishon alakulam, and the shvisa is the first thing which comes before anything else, the rest thing. So the first in the pasuk should be the first thing. So the first thing is that's what's the pasuk come to teach you that you should rest from work. That's the main thing. So if that's the main thing, then that's the first thing it should tell you. And put in mikra kodesh later. You mention it in the tefillos. You mention this now. But why, that's what Rebbe saying, why are you saying Shabbosel means Mekosh, you're throwing in the Malacha all the way at the end? Okay? So the question is, what's the Machlokes here? I mean, it's like a funny, what are they arguing about? For this, who cares, first of all? Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, Kachi Yafa Lidjosh means it's not a Nafke, there's no Nafke in here. The question in Dutton Josh, how are you going to be Darshan Pasuk in the Pesachim? You know, there's no practical difference. The question is, how are you going to learn the Pesachim? But what's the argument here, you know? I mean, this first, that first, I mean, what's the difference, really? I mean, in a certain sense, it sounds like his point is good. What's Rebbe Elazar going to say back to that, or, you know? Okay, so Garris is just saying that one side seems more logical, Rebbe Akiva. Because how could you mention, Mikra is mentioning the Kedusha Yom in Tefillah. But what's the Kedusha Yom? The Kedusha Yom is the day of rest, Shvisa, that's a Kedusha. So don't you have to first mention the Kedusha Yom, then say that you mentioned it in Tefillah. So it makes sense, mention it in Tefillah, what in Tefillah? So it sounds like the cart before the horse, right? So how could be able to answer that? So I think you have to say is that if you're mentioning the Kedusha Yom before the Shvisa, you must say that the Kedusha Yom is something apart from the Shvisa. You know, I mean, the Kedusha Yom is the Kedusha Yom, it's the identity of the day. The day is an identity. It's Yom HaZikaron, it's a positive idea. It's a certain type of Yom. It's not Shabbos. The identity of Shabbos is Shvisa. That is the identity of Shabbos. All right. So of course you can't talk about mentioning it in your tefillah until you say what Shabbos is. Shabbos, rest. That's the identity of Shabbos. It's Yom Shabbos, Yom Shvisa. But the identity of Rosh Hashanah, you could say, is not one of Malacha, it would seem. It's not Shvisa. The identity is it's Yom HaZikaron, whatever. It's a special day. It's Yom Kadosh. Okay, Mikra is a special day. So first thing is that in your tefillos you mention Mikra Kodesh. Shabbos means you mention the Kedusha on the day. Then Zechor and other elements of the Kedusha day. And then Shafros and other elements of the Kedusha. And then, oh by the way, you have to rest. Mikra Kodesh means it tells you have to be Mikadosh through resting. So what does that mean? That sounds like that is the Kedusha again. You know, because the Mikra Kodesh says Kashay Vasiyas Malacha. See, but it could be held like this, is that the Kedusha Yom was not resting. But you couldn't have a Kedusha Yom if you were working. The din of resting on Rosh Hashanah is not because the identity of the Yom is one of rest, a day of rest. It's not a day of rest. It's a day of the Zikaron and the Shofar, you know, it's other stuff. OK? Okay? But you simply couldn't have these identities of the day exist if you're going to work. So you have to have Shvisa, because without Shvisa there wouldn't be like a separate, the day wouldn't exist. It would just be a regular day. So you need the Esser Malacha as like a prerequisite in order to be able to come along and give the day any characters. You know what I mean? But if you'll say what's primary, the primary isn't the Shvisa. I mean, it's like practically first. But it's not conceptually more significant. Conceptually, it's just like a means. It's a means of allowing the day to be take on its identity. Mm-hmm. When you do the pasuk, first you talk about its identity, then you talk about that the necessary prerequisite to bring it about. You know what I mean? That's Rebbe Elazar's argument. You know. So what is Rebbe Akiva going to say back to that? Yeah. So you could just say, if you want to be minimal about this, you could just say that that's Rebbe Akiva holds no, is that since the Shvisa is the necessary prerequisite, so therefore you have to mention that first. Like you could say it's not a question in Josh, is that when you have something where the essence is really the Kedushas Hayom, but the vehicle is the Malacha, the Shvisa Malacha, the necessary prerequisite vehicle is what to set a day apart and allow it to get its identity is the Malacha, what should be Dorish first? Should be Dorish first the conceptual essence, or should it be Dorish first practically that which is necessary first, practically, the Shvisa? You know what I mean? You could say that, but somehow it's not compelling. I think also Rashi says Shvisa he Iker. He says it's Rishona the Iker. Sounds like an Iker. It's not just like practically necessary, and it's also, it seems like a good argument, is that if you tell me that it's just a practical thing, it doesn't, it's true, it's first, but it shouldn't be Dorish that first, it doesn't make sense yet. So therefore, I think like what Gary said, is better to go, is that he's learning, Rabbi Kiva holds it's not true, that Shvisa is not just a practical way, the necessary set day apart. But Shabbos, Shvisa is really, Shabbos is actually a part of the Kedush name of Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is true, it's Zichron Teruah, but it's Shabbosom. Shabbosom is also is the like the substratum, the basic. It's like Shabbos, but it also has other elements added onto it. So it's Shvisa Malacha is the platform. It's the basic Kedushas Hayom plus. It's like Shabbos plus. It's not just a different Kedushas Hayom Zichron Teruah, but it's Shabbos plus the Zichron Teruah. So if that's the case, then you can't toseh mention the Kedusha in the Tefillah without first telling you the Kedusha of Shabbos. So the, what's the Kedusha? Shabbason, Zichron, Truah, and the Kekodesh. You mention that Shabbos in the Tefillah. I mean, but if you say that's a component of the Kedusha, you have to first mention the Isra Malacha first. Then you can talk about it, that you mentioned it in the Tefillah. I mean, that's the Iker. The Iker of the day is it's the day of Shabbason, Zichron, Truah. Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds no. He holds that it's not really, Shabbos is not an element of the day per se. Really the day is just Mikra Kodesh, Sichron Shrua, and there's the Kedush Zayom. It says Kodesh, whatever. It's Mikadesh Shal, Yom HaZikar. It's a separate day. But the Shvisa is just like a necessary prerequisite in order to bring about the Yom. You know what I mean? So what's that? Maybe I suppose that. Machalagas? Okay. So maybe go further. Why would you say that the Shabbos is? I mean, at this point, I think it's good. It's a question: is the Shabbos a part of the Kedusha Yom, or is it just like a necessary prerequisite? Maybe just to go a step further: is what's that based upon? Why would it be? Why wouldn't it be? You know. So maybe it's like I heard the idea from Rabbi Yonson. I think is that like it says that Eilam Moadei Hashem, right? The part of the Nemar. So Eilam Hashem Kodesh Kodesh Eilam Moadei. Says, well, here's the list. And it starts with Shabbos, right? And it's the first thing in the list of Moadei is Shabbos. So the idea is that. That you can't. I said Shabbos is where God creates the kedusha. God created a Shabbos through Ma'aseh Bereishis. But on Yom Tov, man creates the kedusha. Mekadesh Shol Ve'Azman. And that through the Kiddush HaChodesh, right? So if there's no Bezdin to Mekadesh Chodesh, there's no Yom Tov. Yom Tov is based on the calendar. Shabbos is from creation. But Yom Tov, that's just Mekadesh Yisrael who are Mekadesh the Zman. The Yom Tov comes through Kali Yisrael. There's no Kali Yisrael to be no Yom Tov. There's no Kali Yisrael to still be Shabbos. Shabbos is in the Bria. You know, so it's like God gives man the matir to create kedusha. Okay, a man can create a kedusha. But he says that the way he does it is it has to be like built or modeled upon kedusha Shabbos. He has to recognize the idea of Shabbos, and he has the right. Like Shabbos is like the model. That's why in the parsha of the Moadim first comes Shabbos, because he He builds upon Shabbos in order to create a Yisrael. It must make reference to the intrinsic Kedusha Shem, which God is Mekadesh. You can't imply like man per se can create Kedusha. Man creates Kedusha because God set up a Yom HaShabbos, which is Kedusha, and then God gave man the ability to replicate that, so to speak, to use that as model. The question is, in the model, is it, so therefore, we could say, Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbosan, you can't have Rosh Hashanah without Shabbosan being an essential component of the Yom. You know what I mean? Shabbos has to be the foundation of the day, because all the Yom Tovim have to be built upon Yom HaShabbos. So you could add in Zichron Shu'ah, you're very nice, but it has to be Shabbosan, it has to be, the Yom essentially has to be built on Shabbos, you know? Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds it's true, but he holds it's not necessary to be built on Shabbos, like the essence of the day has to have been Shabbos. As long as it uses the method, the method of Shabbos, which is through Isra Malacha, of creating a day through Isra Malacha, that's enough. It doesn't have to be that Shabbos is like a component of the identity of the day. As long as you're using the method of which the Torah is set up by Shabbos, that's enough of a reference to the Yom HaShabbos to allow the Kedusha of the Mo'adim. You know what I mean? Like, what's necessary? Yontif definitely, the Matir have man created Kedusha, that is, he refers to Yontif, to Kedusha Shabbos. Is it in the very identity of the Kedusha Yom itself that has that reference to Shabbos? Or the reference to Shabbos could be through the vehicle of setting up the Yom. You know what I mean? But it doesn't have to include it. In substance. You know what I mean? I'm assuming, based on my point, is that you wouldn't have Shabbos being part of the identity if you didn't have to. So why it's not Shabbos? Why should Shabbos be part of the day? It's really Zichron Shu'ah. But the reason why you do it, according to Rabbi Akiva, is because it has to be. Because he holds that since all the Mo'adim have to be built on Shabbos, you know, it has to be part of the identity. Okay, so that last step is speculative, though. I mean, I think the solid, the part which is more definitive, and, you know, saying less speculative, is just the idea is that is the Shabbos a component of the Kedusha Yom itself? Then you have to first mention Shvisa, what that component is. Then you can mention the Tefillos. Or do you say, no, the Kedusha Yom is really Mikra Kodesh? It's just a day as I set apart, and then it's just necessary. You must have malacha in order to be able to allow for that. So then you say it at that. Then it's just a vehicle. Okay.